Like waking up without the alarm clock? Dan and Lee for breakfast. We love our city. Feel good in the morning. The Riverinas, 11:52, Triple M.
Excited about the Murrumbidgee Music Muster, which is happening March 30. And this morning, from the Murrumbidgee Music Muster, of course, headlined by Casey Chambers, Adam Brand, Richard Clapton, Travis Collins. And joining us this morning, a very good morning to Melanie Dyer. G'day, Mel.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Good, thank you. Melanie, where are you right now in the world?
I'm in Sydney. So I've been living in Sydney for about 6 years, originally from Inverell, though. So a long way from the Riverina.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll be there with bells on for the festival.
Yeah, March 30, of course, and a great lineup. Headlined by Casey Chambers, who we found out yesterday is being inducted into the ARIA Hall of Fame. So not bad. Adam Brand, Richard Clapton. Melanie, talk to us about your career, because it's just taken off and you've got so much going on at the moment. New single out as well.
Yeah, it's been a real whirlwind the last couple of years. So I signed to Universal Music, you know, before my debut EP in 2015. And then in 2017, I released my debut album, Fresh, and we're currently now on the fourth single to radio. So that's pretty cool to lift four singles off your debut album. And we've got the clip up on CMC. That one's called Fit You in a Song. And, yeah, it's just been a bit crazy. Been doing lots of gigs, lots of touring, and I'm playing CMC Rocks again next year for the third time, so that's pretty cool.
So having a look at the lineup for CMC Rocks next year, you've got Florida Georgia Lines, Luke Combs from the USA, Thomas Rhett, Troy Cassadaley's on there, as well as Casey Chambers, and just the list goes on and on. Is there someone that you've met since you've started your career that has just absolutely starstruck you?
Oh my gosh, I'm just starstruck in general, like just seeing somebody do their thing in their element. Obviously, Casey is amazing at what she does. I recently just got back from my second trip to Nashville, and just, you know, being there and going to just the general writers rounds, which I say general, but when you get there, you realize that all these writers have written the hits, you know, that are on the top of the charts in the US, and it's just incredible. So I'd say my starstruck moment is really with the songwriters, and just seeing them and working with them in Nashville and just opening my eyes to the giant, you know, enormity of country music over in the States, I guess. And hopefully we can build that up even more in Australia.
And you've worked with some great writers yourself on your latest album, Fresh. What do you look for in someone who you're writing songs with? Like what says, oh yeah, I want to write a song with you, as opposed to, look, I just don't think we'll work together?
I mean, it's all about giving it a go. You never know if you're going to get a vibe from each other. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Nashville, you know, they're all pretty pro, so they're able to sort of switch it on. And I was lucky enough to work, write my title track, Fresh, with Morgan Evans, actually.
Yes, I was going to ask you about this.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. We just, you know, I had a free day in Nashville and we sort of just kept in contact, and we ended up hooking up for this song, right? And, you know, little did I know it would be the whole, you know, name of the album. And it just kind of sums up the whole album, I guess. It's, you know, country, pop, crossover music. It's fresh, and, you know, where we just wrote the song in an afternoon, you know, sitting on the floor in his apartment at the time. And, yeah, it was all a bit crazy.
Actually, Cherie, our news editor, he went to university with Morgan. She knows
really?
Him. Yeah.
I wonder what he studied. That's very interesting.
Well, she did journalism, so whether or not that was something that he did, not sure. But she told us that she knew him while she was there.
In another life. There you go. Crazy.
Okay. Well, look, we are looking forward to seeing you down here for the Murrumbidgee Music Muster. Before we let you go, though, we'd like to go 60 seconds with and ask you maybe a few questions that you don't get asked so often. Would you be happy to go 60 seconds with Dan and Lee?
Look, I'd be happy to. Can't say where it's going to go, but
that's the best thing about 60 seconds with.
60 seconds with
Melanie Dyer.
Mel, what is your go-to casino game?
Oh, roulette.
What is the best way for you to start your day?
Putting on a playlist, you know, usually A-list country on iTunes Music, and just seeing what's happening in the music chart.
It's a good chart to listen to.
Tattoos, yes or no?
No tattoos, and we'll never get a tattoo.
That's good. I've got three, and I regret every single one of them.
Each to their own.
Yeah, definitely. What's your dream car?
Oh, my gosh. Just anything that goes. Yeah. You know, something that can fit all my sound gear in it. Maybe a Toyota.
What's the best sounding accent?
Irish, for sure. 100%. Fiddle dear potatoes.
Can you give that to me one more time?
Fiddle de dear potatoes.
Yeah. Well done.
That's not your first time doing that, is it? Now, where's the most relaxing place you've ever been?
Hawaii.
What animal would be the cutest if it was scaled down to the size of a cat?
Oh, an elephant. A little baby tiny elephant.
I'm there. Sign it up. Now, I would really like to know this one. What was your very first concert?
Keith Urban. And I was like 17 or 18. And because I grew up in a country town, I didn't really have many things around me. Keith Urban was the biggest sort of stadium concert I'd seen. But if I count the smaller ones, Tamworth Country Music Festival and all the shows there, I've been going to since I was about 8 years old.
If you had a warning label, what would yours say?
Hangry. I get hangry. You gotta feed me.
You and me both, sister.
Thank you so much for your time. The good news is that everyone who joins our show is part of our Friday Meat Raffle, thanks to Wagga Meat Supply, and that includes you. So you've got a ticket in our Friday Meat Raffle here.
Thank you so much for catching up with us today.
No worries. Thanks for having me, guys, and I'll see you on March 30.
Beauty and the Geek was taken, but it would have been a good show name. Dan and Lee for breakfast. Weekdays from 6 on Triple M.
So, Lee, last week when we were doing the revealing of the big black box.
Oh, $10,000.
I know.
$10,000.
Best prize ever. Martin, a loyal listener of the program, he calls in quite regularly. Yet to win the Friday Meat Raffle, but he'll be in again this week if we hear from him again. Anyway, we were there and he come up to me and he said, "We need a few more laughs of a morning."
Oh, no. What have you done?
Was it his way of telling me I'm not funny? I'm not sure. No. He came up and he said, "We need a few more laughs of a morning." He said, "I think you should introduce a joke segment every day." And
today is Wednesday. We are not doing this up.
I thought we could do Worst Joke Wednesday. I thought it would be a great idea. Martin, no, this isn't my idea. If this fails, it's Martin's fault, not mine.
You brought this to the table. You told me you had a great new segment planned for us.
Well, the thing is, you are the king of dad jokes, bad puns and dad jokes. If on your headstone, it will say some crap dad joke. I would guarantee that when you die...
You've got me pegged, yeah.
Yeah, it'll have some bad dad joke. So I'm bringing it to the table. I've got a couple, and I reckon you've probably got a couple just under your belt.
Okay, let's go. This gets one chance. So you go a couple, I'll go a couple. We'll throw it out to our listeners. 13, 27, 10, if you've got a crap joke that you want to share, Worst Joke Wednesday. I can't believe we're doing this.
Okay, Worst Joke Wednesday. Here's my first worst joke for you.
Hang on, I'll just get the sound effects ready to
go. You got it, button pusher? Oh, get out of it. We don't need, don't even hover your button over that one. You're not going to need it. This is a funny worst joke. What do you call a fake noodle?
I don't know. What do you call a fake noodle?
An imposter!
Not bad. Did you, Dan, did you hear about the limbo champion who walked into a bar?
No.
Got disqualified.
No. Oh, I got disqualified. Oh. It always takes me a second or two to get them.
It's funny, isn't it, joke?
I know. Why don't skeletons ever go trick-or-treating?
I don't know.
Because they've got nobody to go with.
Oh, Dan.
No, that was funny.
Okay, what's a pirate's favourite letter?
Arrgh.
No, the mighty C.
Oh, okay.
13, 27, 10, Triple M, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, who have we got?
Martin.
Yay! Okay, Martin, firstly, you're in for our Friday Meat Raffle, thanks to our mates at Wagga Meat Supply. And check out their South Carolina biltong that they've got down there as well. It is spectacular. What's your joke for us, Martin?
Why will you never find an aspirin in the Aussie bush?
Why not, Martin?
Because the paracetamol.
Oh, spectacular. Martin, you've got
one.
Yeah, give us one more.
Everybody knows Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. What a hero he was when he guided Santa's sleigh through the fog. But nobody's ever heard about his brother, Randolph the Brown-Nosed Reindeer. He can pull the sleigh just as fast as any other reindeer. He just can't stop as quick.
Martin, you hold the line there. We'll grab some details. 13, 27, 10. If you've got an amazing joke.
No, worst joke. Not an amazing joke. We're after the Worst Joke Wednesday, and I reckon Martin's Rudolph one might be in the running for that right now.
13, 27, 10.
We had Martin come up to us last Friday at the unveiling of the Big Black Box and suggest to me that we should get some more laughs in on our show because he said you're not funny enough, Lee.
Me?
No, I'm joking.
He was talking directly to you.
No, he did say though, he had an idea for a segment and I love that he come up with this. It was Worst Joke Wednesday. Well, he kind of,
would you
come up with Worst Joke Wednesday. I'm going to take credit for that actually. But
you're going to take credit for Worst Joke Wednesday. Worst Joke Wednesday was done by Marconi the day after he invented radio on Tuesday, and Wednesday he did Worst Joke Wednesday.
Oh, really?
It was, yeah, probably the first segment on radio.
Well, I'm still taking credit for it, goddammit. I don't mind at all. So anyway, Worst Joke Wednesday. We've had a couple of worst jokes. Martin even called up, gave us a couple of his worst jokes, and the phones ran hot. Everyone's got a crap joke, apparently.
13 27 10 Triple M, good morning.
How you going, mate?
Good. Who have we got?
Jason.
Jason, what's your crap joke for us?
Yeah, my crap joke is, how do you know if you're a pirate?
I don't know. How do you know if you're a pirate?
You just are.
Well done. Well done. Hey, Jason, put you in for our Friday meat raffle, mate.
Good on you, buddy.
Too easy. 13 27 10, the number. Triple M, good morning.
Good morning.
Who have we got?
Greg.
Greg, okay, Greg, what's your worst joke for us?
I was flying from Sydney to Brisbane to see my daughter. And the lady sitting next to me on the plane said she's an infomaniac, and I didn't take any notice. And then she said, do you know who make the best lovers in the world? And I said, yes, I do. I said, doctors do. And then she said, who's second best? I said, North American Indians. And then she said, who's third best? I said, Irishman. And then she looked at me and she said, what did you say your name was? I said, Dr. Geronimo O'Connell.
That's actually really good.
That's the pick of the month so far. Yeah, not too bad. Greg, congratulations. We'll put you in for our Friday meat raffle. Thanks to our mates at Wagga Meat Supply.
We'll be honest, I had no idea where Greg was. As soon as he said an infomaniac, I thought, where is
no,
this
infomaniac,
going?
Infomaniac.
Oh, well, I was thinking a whole different thing then, wasn't
type
I?
Of mania. Yeah.
Worst Joke Wednesday?
Yeah.
Is it a thing?
One and done?
No, I think it's a thing. I think we.
You're on holidays for 5 weeks. You don't care.
It doesn't mean I can't send you through some worse jokes, though.
That is true.
Beauty and the Geek was taken, but it would have been a good show name. Dan and Lee for breakfast. Weekdays from 6 on Triple M.
Dan, today is World Diabetes Day.
Yeah, you'd be hard-pressed not to know one person or a couple of people in your lives that are suffering from diabetes.
And living with diabetes. So to find out a little bit more about it from Riverina Diabetes Education, we're saying a very good morning to Helen Hume-Jones. Hello, Helen.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning to you, Helen.
Now,
hi.
Helen, as Dan said, you'd be hard-pressed not to know someone who is living with diabetes, type 1, type 2, or gestational. How many people around Australia, what are the facts and figures on the numbers with diabetes?
So the current numbers from the National Diabetes Services Scheme, who take the registrations, there's about 1.3 million people registered, and that's all types of diabetes in Australia. And of that portion, there's about 5.4% in our Riverina area, and that's equivalent to about 296 new registrations every day.
Wow. That is crazy. So those early registrations, what are the early symptoms that we should be looking out for, Helen, to see if we do have diabetes?
So one of the problems with type 2 diabetes, for instance, is that there is often no symptoms at all. So it's just usually picked up with a routine blood test. But you can get things like excessive tiredness, excessive thirst, of course, going to the bathroom more often, things like blurry vision, slow wound healing, weight loss in extreme cases, tingling and numbness of the feet. Particularly with type 1 diabetes, which is an autoimmune condition, you can usually get a rapid decline in condition, and you might get very thirsty, frequently visiting the bathroom, weight loss, lethargy, and they can get very sick very fast. Gestational diabetes, that's usually picked up with a regular routine test during the pregnancy at about 26 to 28 weeks.
And how important is it with type 2 diabetes in particular to pick it up early? What's the difference in outcome between picking up early and picking up later in the piece?
It's absolutely, it's just so important because early diagnosis will lead to far less complications. It can prevent the onset of type 2 diabetes. Obviously, with type 1 diabetes, it can prevent the terrible outcomes. But type 2 diabetes, definitely you can prevent or delay the onset of type 2 diabetes and also reduce complication risk later on. So very important.
It does sound like it's very important to get diagnosed, Helen. So what is the best way we go about doing that?
I think, if you've got the risk factors, and risk factors can be, overweight or obesity, unhealthy diet, lack of exercise, family history of diabetes, or things like high blood pressure, chat with your GP about having a test. Simple blood test called a HbA1c can easily pick up or detect whether you have type 2 diabetes.
Well, thank you very much, Helen, for having a chat with us this morning. And can you, for anyone who does want more information on diabetes, what's a good resource to go to? Where are some places that they can find out more?
Online, there's the Diabetes Australia websites, and there's one also for Diabetes Australia, each of the states. The NDSS, or National Diabetes Services Scheme websites, are also very good. And the Baker IDI, the Heart and Diabetes Institute website's also very good.
Fantastic.
And locally, if you have got diabetes, there's diabetes educators privately in private practice, such as myself, and also the community health.
Fantastic. Well, Helen Hume-Jones from Riverina Diabetes Education, thank you so much for catching up with us this morning.
Thank you. Thank you. No worries.
Like waking up without the alarm clock? Dan and Lee for breakfast. We love our city. Feel good in the morning. The Riverinas, 11:52, Triple M.